Our reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 37 to 49. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, it immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be up here in front of you this morning. If you don't know me, my name's Matt. I'm one of the ministers here. And I don't know what it is about passages like this. It's about eyes and about building. I think that just summarizes my life, doesn't it? Eyes and building. Well, anyway, we are continuing on this same sermon series from Luke chapters 4 to 6, Jesus's ministry manifesto. And we've come to a section of this sermon series where Jesus preaches a sermon. And so by way of recap, we see in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, that Jesus has been up on a mountain all night praying. He then comes down off the mountain and begins to teach a great crowd of his disciples and a multitude of others that had gathered around him. And so the passage that we are looking at today, Luke chapter 6, verses 37 to 49, is the second half of the sermon that was preached to them all. Now, you might remember last week how Graham explained to us a little bit about those who may have been hearing this sermon. There were Jesus's 12 closest disciples. But then it also tells us there was a great number of other disciples, other people who have been following Jesus for some time now. And then there was also this great multitude of people, some of whom were troubled with unclean spirits and others seeking healing for various diseases, and probably others who have just brought people along who just might happen to have been there at the right place at the right time. And last week, we considered how Jesus used this teaching opportunity to point out what God's people will be like. They will be people who do good to those who hate them. They will be people who pray for those who abuse them. But ultimately, God's people will be those who recognize their need for spiritual nourishment and that their ultimate satisfaction is only found in God. And so now in today's passage, Jesus says that the true people of God will be characterized by how they listen to his word and act on it. Jesus condemns false teachers and warns where such teaching will take those who follow it. In many ways, the passage before us contains a warning for all of us here today, too. The warning is clearly seen in verse 46, where Jesus asks the crowd who listens on, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" See, Jesus wants the crowd that is gathered around him and us here today to listen carefully to what he is saying, to understand who he is and how we should live as a result. And so it would be good for us to take time now, just a minute, to pray that we would not simply just hear Jesus' words, but we would listen carefully to them and act accordingly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us listening ears and help us to come now with hearts that are open to hear your voice. Would your Spirit be at work in us so that we might be challenged by your word and obedient to do what it says. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, in the passage that we're looking at today, we see Jesus's teaching about the importance of discernment for those who are following him. His desire is that for those who listen to his words, that they might notice the subtle differences in what he is saying and how they are different from what has been taught to them by the scribes and Pharisees. And in doing so, he asks those who listen to him to perceive, to understand, and to judge things clearly so that they might make wise choices for their eternal future. In these verses, we actually see Jesus deliver some of the strongest possible warnings against the judgmental hypocrisy that both Jesus and his disciples have encountered because of the teaching of the religious elect. And we see him begin this, and he calls it out for what it is in verses 37 and 38. Look with me at these verses again, starting from verse 37. "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you." Here we see Jesus begin to criticize the false teachers who have been judging him and his disciples. They are the ones that have condemned him for working on the Sabbath. They have condemned him for breaking the rules, for not living according to their standards. And so what Jesus exposes is that their teaching leads to unforgiving, judgmental hearts. While the Pharisees might be teaching not to judge, they themselves are doing exactly that. They are judging. And so those who follow Jesus are to understand the reality of how these religious leaders are acting. See it for what it is. Differentiate it from what Jesus is teaching, and then act on Jesus's teaching. Acting not as the Pharisees are acting with judgmental, unforgiving hearts, but rather as those who recognize their need for spiritual guidance and direction and know that they are dependent on Jesus and Jesus alone for this direction. But see, Jesus doesn't actually stop there. He goes on to call these teachers blind teachers that then produce bad fruit. Beginning from verse 39, Jesus actually tells two parables that clearly point out the hypocrisy of the Pharisees' teaching in order to challenge the crowd who have gathered around him to listen and to follow the one true teacher, the one that is not blind. So look with me at verse 39. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Jesus is pointing out that these religious teachers are like the blind leading the blind. Even though their teaching may sound like the truth, Jesus warns that it will lead people astray, like a blind person who leads a blind person. This kind of teaching will lead them to their ruin. They will inevitably fall into a pit. And it's not like these blind people will just sort of fall into a little puddle or trip over a little ditch or anything like that. As they fall into the pit, they are falling to their death. And it might be helpful for us to think about this analogy more in terms that we might sort of think about today. It might be like a blind person trying to teach another blind person how to abseil down a rock face. Or possibly a blind electrician trying to help another blind electrician trying to connect two electrical, live electrical wires together. Or maybe a blind person trying to lead a blind person across an 8-lane freeway. These things are meant to sound a bit absurd. And we're meant to realize there's no way they're going to survive, are they? It's just not possible. Because we all understand the people who can, that we all understand that a blind person needs guidance from somebody who can see. Because the person who can see the dangers. The person who can see knows the right way to go. But Jesus says here, these religious teachers, well, they can't see. Their teaching is distorted by their own self-righteousness, and so they are leading all who follow them away and towards certain death. And he continues to explain the severity of their problems by explaining how they are fixated on pointing out the little speck, the tiny piece of sawdust that is in the eye of those around them, while all the while they have a log in their own eye. And this too is meant to just seem absurd. It would be like going to an optometrist, and you know, you might be doing some work and you've got a little bit of sawdust in your eye or something that you would really like removed. So you head off to the optometrist and you sit down and you notice that the doctor comes in, and as he comes in, he's sort of wobbling around, and you look up and he's got this massive log sticking out of his eye. And he's waving it around and he knocks off his assistant in the meantime, and you just think to yourself, how is he gonna ever help? Because he can't even get close enough to see your little speck in your eye because of the massive log in his eye. These are the images. This is the image that Jesus uses to ensure that his disciples, those who are following him, see the teaching of these religious leaders and to discern from themselves what it really is. It is hypocritical and will lead those who listen and act on it to destruction. See, the teaching of any religious leader matters greatly, because false teaching will ultimately destroy those who follow it. So while Jesus calls out and condemns the false teaching of the Pharisees, we see that it's not just the Pharisees that he is concerned with, it's the great number of his followers, the crowds of people that have crowded around him, the average normal person who just happened to show up. These people are the people that Jesus is most concerned for. The crowd of his disciples and those gathered to hear him speak, these are the ones that are his main target audience. See, he wants them to listen to him, to discern what he is saying, and then ask, well, how can they tell if it is false teaching that they are hearing? How will they know? And as if preempting their question, he goes on to talk about trees. Look with me at verse 43. For no good tree but bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Now, I am not much of a gardener. None of my trees have ever produced much fruit. But nonetheless, I still understand that when it comes to trees, the quality of the fruit reveals the internal condition of the tree. A sick or dying tree is not going to produce good fruit. It will produce poor, bad fruit. And the same is true for us. The same is true for humanity. The good or the bad that is within us is ultimately seen because it eventually comes out, whether it's by what we say or by what we do. And here, Jesus points out that the teaching of the Pharisees produces the bad fruit of hypocritical, judgmental, merciless behavior. And this comes out because it's actually what's in their heart. And see, any teaching that is not in line with Jesus and what he teaches will in time produce bad fruit. And this might be fruit that is self-righteous, or fruit that is self-rewarding, or fruit that is just plain selfish. Because our hearts, when not aligned with Jesus' teaching, are unable to be anything else than self-centered. And it is at this point that Jesus takes the opportunity to ask a very important question. He asks in verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" In preparation for this sermon, I spent a bit of time wondering why he asks this question of them here. Is it because the crowds have been calling him Lord, Lord, just to get his attention so that they may benefit from his miracles or the healings or the casting out of unclean spirits? Is that why he says it? Is it because that was common practice maybe in those days, to acknowledge the authority of a teacher, calling them Lord, Lord, but not actually have their authority change how you live? Was that common practice in the day? Or possibly because Jesus could see how his disciples, who had begun to follow him even though they were willing to listen to what he said, they were willing to listen to him, they were not willing to give up their association with the teachers of the law, who Jesus had just been speaking out against. See, being a disciple of Jesus cannot just be about listening to him. It also requires us to take seriously what he says and to do it, to put it into practice. See, true discipleship starts with hearing Jesus' words, but also must involve acting on them. And in a way, this is where we see how believing in Jesus, following in Jesus, can be seen as very countercultural. Because we cannot just say, Lord, Lord, and then accept other forms of teaching or any other forms of ideas that are around and in front of us. And we can't be acting on them and calling Jesus Lord, Lord. Because if we do, our lives are hypocritical and our lives will fall to ruin. Jesus here goes on to urge his disciples to recognize him as the true teacher on whose words they must build their lives. As we get to the passage about the two builders, it reminded me of one time when I was a builder and I was asked to renovate a bathroom. It was just a small little bathroom renovation that was on the side of an existing house. And I had renovated plenty of bathrooms before, but this one actually required some foundations, and I had to get an engineer involved for these foundations. And when I met with the engineer and discussed his plan, what I noticed was how excessive his engineering was. They were deep foundations, and they were wide foundations, and they had a lot of steel in them. And I can remember actually turning to this engineer and saying to him, "You could drive a truck over these foundations and they won't move." And I can still remember how he turned to me and he smiled smugly and he said, "Yes, you could." See, the problem I had with the foundations and foundations like these is that they are extremely costly. They take a long time to dig. They require a lot of energy. They take more time and cost more money. I was concerned about the immediate cost, but the engineer, he wasn't. He was concerned about the future. He was looking to the future so that there would be nothing that would ever make these foundations collapse. He knew that if the foundations were strong, the building that was put on top of it would be strong too. Why don't we read this parable again from verse 47? "Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose and the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been built well. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." In construction, there can be no cutting corners when it comes to building on the foundation. If a foundation is unstable, everything that is built on it is unstable. And Jesus uses this illustration to make the point that what we build our lives on is no different. What we choose to build our lives on will be the thing that determines whether or not we will stand or fall in the test of time. And so what Jesus is driving at here is our deep dependence on him. He wants those to hear his words, those who hear his words, to build their lives upon them, to be firmly built on his foundation. And this is because while we might hear Jesus' words of things like don't judge or don't condemn or to love your enemies, we know that we can't ever do them perfectly. And these things alone will never be enough. And so we must be careful. And we must be fully dependent on him, turning to him when we fail, seeking his help in all that we do, confidently knowing that God is at work in us and changing us, because his word reminds us that he alone is the only one who can and will and has done everything necessary to bring us to himself. And so he is the only foundation that will survive the storms. Now, I also think that Jesus asks this question and tells this little parable because I suspect that we don't think that we will ever experience storms. Possibly, you might think that they are things that happen to other people. We also might think that as we trust in God, he will protect us from the storms of life. And so we don't have to worry about it. We just won't ever go through any storms. And that's not what the passage says, does it? Both men go through the storm. And if we don't realize that we are going through the storm as well, and we will in the future, then we won't prepare for them. And we will fail to build good, strong foundations. In the light of what we've looked at today, one of the ways that we can build our lives on a strong foundation, well, that is on the life and teaching of Jesus, is to be discerning about what we hear and who we listen to. See, there are still false teachers today. People who want to downplay the seriousness of sin. Teachers who want to preach how God promises to give us good things all the time, that he promises material blessing as you follow him. There are false teachers who want to downplay the authority of the Bible and will tell you, it's okay, don't worry. What the world calls good, God also calls good too. But we read in 2 Peter, where we are warned that there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring destructive heresies, even denying Jesus himself, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. See, there are blind that are still leading the blind. They are producing bad fruit, and if you follow them, you will find yourself in a pit. And so, the question then needs to be asked, how will we build? Are we going to build with the present day view only, or are we going to build foundations that will stand the test of time? As we look at this, we notice that the difference between the two houses is one man heard the word of God and acted on it, while the other man heard the word and did nothing about it. So Jesus is encouraging us to a daily, disciplined practice of active discipleship. He says we are to hear his words, heed his warning, and live as he instructs us to live. Because he is our foundation. He is the strong and steadfast foundation that will hold us fast through every storm that comes our way. And I know that there are many of you here who have and are facing storms of great power. And as you continue to stand firm on Jesus as the foundation for your life, the great encouragement for the rest of us is to see that there is nothing that can or will move you See, there is evidence in your life that you have built your life on Jesus' firm foundation. And so I would encourage those of you who have heard his words but have not heeded the warning, that are not doing anything about what he says, I would say to you, do not be foolish. The only one who hears and does not act, anyone who hears and does not act is like a man who builds his house on the ground without a foundation. When the streams broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Jesus has here shown us that he is the true teacher, and the fruit of his teaching is good. And so I urge us all here today to follow him and his teaching. And see, Jesus here, he is concerned with our present everyday storms, but he also knows of the ultimate and final storm that is yet to come for each and every one of us. There will be a final judgment that even us who follow him must be prepared for. Every single one of us will face his final judgment. None of us will be exempt. As we build our lives on his teaching, though, not just hearing it, but acting on it, and as we repent and turn to him time and time again, he promises that he will not move. His foundation is secure, and it is the only one that will stand the test of time into eternity. And it is only those who build on his foundation that will remain standing on that day. Why don't I pray? Lord, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lonely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen.